Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On for 20% off your next order. Another great show for you today here on Draft Week. I'll be joined here in a minute by Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle to preview tonight's draft and the reasons for and against the Warriors taking some of these top prospects or just trading down. It's all coming up next.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Connor, thanks for coming on. How excited are you for this draft to just be over?
Very excited. I'm excited, A, to just be done writing about it, because and this is coming from someone who really loves the draft. Like, ever since I was a kid, I've looked forward to be a draft every year, and I really have actually enjoyed sinking my teeth into draft coverage, because, you know, my previous 4 years on the beat, that was never really a factor. You know, it was just something that you did after the finals run that you had like a day or two to prepare for. But now that we're in like month 8 of this being all about the draft, I'm so over it. But that being said, I am really curious to see what's going to unfold tomorrow, just because we've analyzed it so much that it really makes you feel a little bit emotionally invested just in terms of what's going to happen. And there's several routes they can go, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I just wanted to have you on to break down the reasons for and against the Warriors taking some of the top guys. Like you said, we've almost been writing about this draft, Connor, for an entire calendar year. It's not been since March. It hasn't been since the end of the season in the bubble. It's been for you and I since like December, when it was clear that the Warriors were going to be picking at the top part of this draft, and this draft is going to happen eventually November 18th because it was pushed back so many times. So I wanted to break down some of the top guys: James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and then explore the possibility of them trading the pick. But let's start with Wiseman. It's well established that you and I don't love his game, and that's okay. But yeah, from his fit standpoint, he's the easiest guy to pencil in for the Warriors.
Right.
Where are you on Wiseman now that we're a few hours away from the draft?
So I don't – when it comes to this, my opinion doesn't really matter, right? It's the Warriors' opinion that matters. Okay. And what I've been reporting has been coming from Warriors sources and league sources. And I think you – just reading your stuff, it seems like it's been something similar. But I noticed a real kind of paradigm shift with Wiseman after his workout in Miami. You know, everything I'd heard before that was, I'm not sure we're really comfortable taking a center that early. I'm not sure how great his upside is. Then after the workout, you know, there were still reservations expressed. They still aren't totally sold on him, but they were impressed enough with his physical tools that I believe they're at the point now where if they do end up keeping the number 2 pick and Edwards is not available, which it's looking more and more likely, like Minnesota's going to take Edwards number 1, then I think they do end up taking Wiseman, just because he does fill a need and he has a really high floor. I mean, I think he's going to be a really good starter in this league for a long time. I don't see him being like a full on bust, regardless of what happens. And I do think he has a chance to be an all-star caliber guy if he can learn how to play make and create for himself.
Yeah, and that's really what we're talking about with Wiseman. You mentioned the shift that happened after the workout. That, more than any other prospect, was going to happen with Wiseman because there's so little of him on tape, right? There's 69 total minutes of him playing at Memphis, 3 games. 2 of those games were against Xavier Junior University or something, and the other game was against and the other game was against Oregon, and he didn't play well against Oregon. He was a non-factor in that game. You go back and watch the film, which is all the Warriors had up until that in-person workout, and no wonder that they were split. And I've said this enough on my podcast and reported it enough with the Mercury News. They didn't, same as you, they were split on him. There were some guys that just loved his upside, other guys in that front office that were very hesitant, but you get to see him in person. You get to talk to him in person. He's very impressive in these Zoom interviews with the media, by the way. I think that bodes well for him. And then you see him in person, you talk to enough people around him, and I think it's helpful. And they were really impressed with his athleticism and his size and the way he carries himself. And so I think that's why they like him. And so that would be, I think, the case for Wiseman, is exactly what you said, is that he does have a high floor. If he does end up just being Hassan Whiteside or JaVale McGee, that's still a starting caliber center in the NBA. That's not a bad outcome. You would hope that, and he has some all-star potential. I don't think that he'll ever reach the Chris Bosh, Kevin Garnett, Anthony Davis comparisons, but he could just be a poor man's version of you know, those type of archetype players. The case against Wiseman, I think, is the fact that he has shown very little ball skills. He has almost zero court vision when it comes to passing the ball, which is a big need in Golden State's offense, right? Defensively, he is so slow to react on just basic pick and roll action that you are going to have to bet on your coaching staff getting the most out of him on that end.
I don't love his basketball IQ and just his overall feel for the game. Right. His offensive arsenal is very limited right now. He's got the physical traits to be, you know, to go in and eat up minutes right away, but he's not especially skilled. And I'm not sure that that's going to come. You know, this isn't a guy who necessarily found basketball late. You know, it's not like he, you know, picked up a basketball when he's 15. You know, it's not that type of situation. So I don't know. I can understand, though, why the Warriors are kind of zeroing in on him at number two. And I kind of think it's like the lesser of evils, you know? I mean, there's not a great option here. And I don't think they're especially excited about anyone at number two. I think they're excited about potential trade scenarios and the prospect of being able to get a rotation caliber guy while also drafting someone in the mid lottery or something like that. But in terms of these top three names that keep coming up, I don't know. And I'm curious for your thoughts about this. I'm sure you saw the report from Jonathan Giovanni, who I'm a fan of. I think he's done a great job for years covering the draft. He reported that the Warriors were really impressed with LaMelo Ball's recent workout and that they could be kind of changing their opinion on him. What was your thought with that?
They like LaMelo Ball. I have found it interesting that they have been so quiet with LaMelo. We got the James Wiseman stuff from the Warriors. We've heard the Anthony Edwards stuff from the Warriors. We know that they like Tyrese Halliburton and Devin Vassell and Isaac Okoro to a degree. We really haven't heard that much on LaMelo. I did have one person in the front office tell me that they value this class of point guards higher than any other position in this draft. And LaMelo Ball is the consensus point guard in this draft. Now, I've always assumed that they were talking about guys like Tyrese Halliburton or maybe even Killian Hayes, not really LaMelo, because the fit just doesn't make sense there. Like, you can't really play him next to Steph and Clay. He's such a bad defender at this point in his career. I just don't know how you get him on the court for more than 10 minutes or 12 minutes a game. And I think that infringes on his development. But it would not shock me if we heard a lot about Wiseman and heard a lot about Edwards and they were drumming up some trade interest in this pick or whatever and then just snuck in and took LaMelo Ball, because maybe they think that he can turn into a positive team defender because he's 6'7". He's got good size, good length, good athleticism. Maybe they think he could turn into something on that end. And then he does have something they need in, you know, quick, you know, fast twitch reaction time, ball movement, passing, all those things. Like, they need a player that can do that. They need to add more playmaking on this roster, and he's maybe the best playmaker in this draft. So it doesn't shock me that they were impressed. I don't think that he was very impressive with this interview, but I've heard from enough people who are close to LaMelo saying, like, don't judge him on these interviews. The kid loves basketball more than anything, and the Warriors tend to like guys who just love basketball. So I'm not saying anything here. All I'm saying is that don't count LaMelo Ball out of the conversation. The NBA draft is finally here, and the Locked On Podcast Network will have live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Locked On Live. It's tonight. It will be the only place that you can find Chad Ford, the godfather of draft analysis, on the night of the draft. Join Chad, Brad Rowland of Locked on Hawks, and David Locke for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis also from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. Follow Locked on Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, and get alerts as soon as they go live. Also, let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions. But the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and they're low sugar, making them perfect for keto and other low-carb diets. They're high in protein, they're high in fiber. I am packing these in as I prepare for the big Thanksgiving holiday. I want to get in the best shape so that I could just blow it on Turkey Day. But for these next couple weeks, I'm doing a high-protein diet. These Built Bars are coming in clutch. I just ordered a whole new box of them. You can too. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Right. I talked to a source today who basically said that the ownership is especially high on LaMelo. Now, this person didn't mention a name, but I'm led to believe that's Joe Lacob. Just speculating here, I think Joe Lacob's probably high. He kind of fits the bill of what Joe Lacob tends to like. Joe Lacob was really high on Monte Ellis back in the day. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Joe was kind of putting that bug in Bob's ear saying, hey, look how skilled he is, check out these highlights. At the end of the day, though, Joe has been good about letting the people he employs make the decision. You know, he'll be a voice in the room, but ultimately it's going to come down to what Bob Myers wants. And I still don't believe that they're gonna take LaMelo at number two, even if they trade back to number three or four. I don't see them taking him. He's not a great fit. Is it possible? Yes. But especially when the owner is a fan, but I don't see it happening.
And the other guy I want to talk about is Anthony Edwards. And look, of all the guys that we're talking about, I still think he has the highest upside between Wiseman and Ball. He's got a unique ability to create his own shot that other players in this draft don't have. And I think he could be something like Donovan Mitchell on offense and Jaylen Brown on defense if everything just clicks for him. And that's obviously the big question. But I know that, you know, we've talked a lot about Wiseman being available there for the Warriors and maybe him being the number one target for them. And you know, we just got done talking about the potential with LaMelo, but they have long liked Anthony Edwards. They've seen him a couple of times now in person. The first interview didn't go so great. The second interview in person did. I still think he's very much in the running to be the pick if he's there at number two. What do you like about Anthony Edwards?
Just his physical tools. I mean, he's got an NBA-ready frame already. He can jump out of the gym. I mean, he's very Dwayne Wade-esque physically. You've heard a lot of Dwayne Wade comparisons.
Whoa, easy with that. That's hallowed ground.
Donovan Mitchell is probably better. Bradley Beal. You know, I think he's a guy who can come in and average 15-plus points per game this season. I think he's that gifted offensively. And I think that he – you can't judge him too harshly for his year at Georgia, because that was such a unfortunate situation in a lot of ways. They're playing seven freshmen. There wasn't a lot of talent around him. He's forced to play point guard out of position. He only went to Georgia because it was close to home and he wanted to stay close to home given his family situation. And that just happened to be the situation there. So it wasn't ideal, and I'm not going to judge him harshly for that.
What did you make of his draft interviews, the Zoom interviews with media? Because there was a lot written about how, you know, he learned a lot from his in-person workout with the Warriors, that they had to tell him that he needs to go harder And that really changed his mindset. And then obviously, you know, there was that one answer to a question about what do you need to adjust the most when you become an NBA player? And he basically said his eating habits. What did you make of all of that?
I'll tell you right now, that was not the right answer to that question. That was he should have gotten advised on that. And if he did, it was bad advice, because that just it comes across like you're not mature. It comes across like you're not ready.
I mean, the low bar for him, right, is Dion Waiters. And that answer gave off a lot of Dion Waiters red flags.
Yeah, yeah. And what I heard about that first workout is that they were impressed with his physical tools, which they expected, but that he was kind of going through the motions, and they were like, dude, you're auditioning for a top two pick here. Like, you're going through the motions? Really? So that speaks to what he had talked about, which is they pulled him aside and said, hey, you know, you really need to be giving your all at all times, which I'm sure they gave it in a nice way, because they're like that. But I'm sure there was a part of them that was like, dude, do we really need to tell you this? Like, this, you're the audition here, you know? That, and if you're trying to invest tens of millions of dollars in someone, that doesn't bode well. That doesn't make you feel comfortable. What I will say is they had another workout with him, and I heard that went much better. I think he learned from the first one. So I still think that if he's available at number two, they'll take a strong look at it, and they'll probably take him at number two if they end up holding on to it, which I think plan A is trading it.
So let's talk a little bit more about that, because there's a lot been made about what the Warriors can trade down. And look, they have made the number two pick available, right? I don't think it was very much in play for Jrue Holiday, just based on what New Orleans got for Jrue Holiday. But if they're going to move the pick, for a player they have maintained all along, they want a guy who can be an all-star caliber player, make multiple all-star games. That's what it's going to take to move the number two pick. Holiday is really not even a bona fide all-star player. I don't think that Marcus Smart makes a lot of sense for them for that same reason, guys like that. But I still think that what makes sense for Golden State, if they're going to move this pick, is just to trade back, right? You move back one, two, three, four spots, and you pick up some draft capital in the process, a future first-round pick, maybe a guy who can play some meaningful minutes for you in the package, and that, to me, is the most realistic type of trade that the Warriors can do on draft night.
Yeah, you know, and that's what Boston did a couple years ago with Jason Tatum. They had the number one pick in the draft. They knew they wanted Jason Tatum, and they knew that Jason Tatum was going to be available at three. At that time, for whatever reason, Markelle Fultz was kind of the consensus number one. They didn't like Markelle. So they traded down to Philly at three. Philly got their guy at Markelle. We all know how that went. But the Celtics were able to get Tatum at three, who's now like an all-NBA caliber guy, and also get a future first-round pick. From what I've heard, the Warriors don't necessarily feel like they need to get another first-round pick. They would actually rather get like a rotation caliber front-court player. They could shore up that center rotation. That'd be great. And I know one thing you floated out there, and I'm all in on this, of all the trade scenarios that I've seen that I think makes the most sense, it's the Warriors trading the number two pick down to number four with Chicago for the number four pick, as well as Wendell Carter Jr. Chicago, who is known to want a playmaker, could go get their guy in LaMelo. See how he does with Kobe White. Maybe you move Kobe White down the line, try to build around LaMelo. And the Warriors get a legitimate starting caliber center who's only 21 years old in Wendell Carter Jr. And then they still get a guy they like at four, maybe Denny or Tyrese.
Yeah, that to me makes sense with Chicago. If you are trading down a spot with Charlotte, to me, the guy I'd be pushing for is Miles Bridges. I'd want the number three pick, Bridges, and a future first rounder coming over from Charlotte if they try to move up for Wiseman or LaMelo or something like that. As far as the other teams that are out there that could want to move up, Detroit has worked out LaMelo Ball. They could be motivated to move up from seven to number two. I just don't really know what they have to get a deal done there. I mean, they have a seventh pick. They can offer a future first rounder, maybe a couple.
Also, who could Detroit really give the Warriors? I mean, Luke Kennard has been thrown out there. I don't want Luke Kennard.
Yeah, Kennard's a nice player, but he's not filling an immediate need for the Warriors, and they would probably prefer to get somebody who does, who plays in the front court. And still, you're moving back from seven, or you're moving back from two all the way to seven. The guys that you really like might not be there, right? Like that by then, Tyrese Halliburton, Devin Vassell might be off the board, and you're forced to go in another direction. I think if they do end up moving back to seven, that might be when the Pistons are actually on the clock, right? Whereas I think trades with Charlotte or Chicago, teams like that, would happen prior to the Warriors actually making the pick there at number two. But Connor, you have to go. I know you and I are going to have a lot more draft stuff coming. The draft is tonight. By the end of this month, we will have a new president. We will have a new player on the Warriors roster. Really excited for this. Connor, thanks so much for joining me.
Of course.
Thanks again to Connor Letourneau from the San Francisco Chronicle for joining me. You can find all of his work at the San Francisco Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter at @con_cron. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thank you to Built Bar for sponsoring today's show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you tonight for our recap of the NBA draft.